how will this realignment change, or how has it changed the way that cybersecurity is done for the Navy?
Well, you mentioned in the beginning we started off that we had the operational responsibilities, and that came out of Secretary of Defense's decision to stand up U.S. Cyber Command, and each of the services were directed to stand up a component the way that we do it in the regional combatant commands. The recent change gives us both administrative control over the same commands that were assigned to us operationally and increased my boss's budget authority at the same time. So now we can direct the operations in conjunction with what we work with U.S. Cyber Command. We have the ability to organize those commands, and then we've got the ability to put money against the problem in real time. So it solidifies our command and control across the board.
Are you collaborating with the other branches, at least to see what best practices they're experiencing and sharing your success stories with them, too, as you're developing, as this process is evolving?
Yeah, very much so. And in fact, I would say that's been one of the early success stories of how the services have worked together. So between Fleet Cyber Command and 10th Fleet here in the D.C. area, 24th Air Force in San Antonio, Army Cyber Command and Marine Cyber Command, we have regular sharing sessions that we're working together. We've shared many of the operations that have been assigned to us by Cyber Command, and we've got a great command and control structure that works operationally to take a task and put the right kind of resources with the best capability that the four of us have to offer.
When you talk about budget authority, or when you talk about resources, I go back to what you said about budget authority, which is that you're getting more budget autonomy. Talk about the impact that that has on you being able to do what it is that your mission states you're supposed to be doing.
Well, there's not a lot of change other than we're the one that can make the decision. In the past, we had a situation where we were having to go into a greater Navy pot and compete for the things that we thought were priorities operationally. And while it's the same amount of money that's available, my boss is now the one that can make that final decision to be able to put money where we think we can get the greatest operational impact.
What is the biggest benefit of that? It seems to me that maybe it would be time that you can respond more quickly to challenges and needs that you have. Would that be it?
That is probably the primary one. If there's a difference between cyber as a warfighting domain and the others, it's everything we do is at a millisecond speed. But also it has helped us to create the visualizations that we need to see this domain well enough to work the kind of tools that we need to develop in a software sense to either give us a better defensive edge or get a toolbox of weapons that we may be able to use in the right situation if we were ordered to do so.
I don't know if the standing up of Cyber Command or the discussions that led to the standing up of Cyber Command are actually drove a conversation about cyber war, but it's my sense that over the past year to 18 months to maybe 2 years, there's been a growing emphasis in understanding that cyber war is separate and distinct from cyber security. Can you talk about some of the differences, some of the nuances there that either you knew going into this standing up of Cyber Command, that you knew going into the changes that you're implementing, or that you've learned as you've gone along?
Well, I would say first, we think there are probably a lot more similarities than there are differences, and it starts with a basic understanding of what the environment looks like. And if I were talking to you about fighting at sea, I would say the same thing. If we don't understand the environment around us, we can't defend very well, nor could we project power very well as a Navy.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've taken very much the same approach with cyber. But then after that, there are differences in how you think about offense versus defense. It does build upon what the Navy has used as our signals intelligence capabilities. We're a little bit different than the other services in our approach there. That is, you know, really one of the reasons why we chose Fort Meade as our headquarters. With the defensive effects, we're really thinking about more getting a balance between signature-based capabilities, the kinds of virus protection that we would have all on our home PCs, and versus getting a look at our environment that would look for an anomaly in that environment On the offensive side, it's really taking an advantage of a weakness in one of a potential adversary's environment. So we can do that stealthily to get in under the radar, so to speak. So what we're trying to do as an effect in cyberspace offensively isn't seen by that adversary.
When we think about cyber warfare and cyber as an offensive activity, is preparation and drilling and so on and training the same level of requirement that it is for conventional types of warfare?
Absolutely. Just as a Navy strike group has to certify that its Hornets are trained to drop bombs, we have to go through the same certification process with our combatant commander. So it's a very rigorous training that we check, that we have everything aligned properly, that the operators have the same kind of training on the system that they're using, and that we can predict the effect that we would have in a cyber engagement. It completely parallels the kinetic process.
You talked about the collaboration that you do with the other branches of the military. In those sharing environments, talk about some of the things that you've come across that are unique to the Navy that other branches don't have to deal with, or maybe don't have to deal with the severity or complexity level that you have to deal with on the Navy side.
Well, all the services have a fairly dynamic environment, but I would say what sets the Navy apart is we're a completely wireless service. And in fact, I would describe our fleet as really a collection of about 270 mobile networks that we have to take a look at. So this comes really more on the operation and defensive side. So, we're heavily dependent on our satellite communications to link us back into the networks that make cyber war fighting important, and where the other services for the most part can go to a garrison or bed down location and use the same kind of traditional wired networks that we would use more for we're not in deployed status. So that's the biggest challenge, and ships from the size of an aircraft carrier to a coastal patrol vessel, and so a big difference in the kinds of networks that we're fielding across the board.